Welcome to A View from the Bullens, in partnership with the Fitzrovia Bell London, our official away day pub for all Evertonians. And fanscapes.co.uk, made by fans for fans.
I think obviously the question mark was going to be the first Merseyside derby where fans are sitting. There's obviously a lot of fans unrest on the social media and on the radio, you hear them. But that's not going to help anyone. It's not going to help the players. And it's your club. You know, Everton is our club, but we want us to be successful. And if Rafa's going to be the man for that, you know, I'm up for it.
Hello and welcome back to another episode from A View from the Bullens with me, Mick Kemp, Lee McLean, Ben Winstanley and Michael Ball. Ballie, a lot's happened since you were last on the episode about 2 weeks ago, and obviously the most noticeable is Rafael Benitez as the new Everton manager. What are your initial thoughts on that now things have started to settle down?
Obviously still a bit shocked by it all when it first happened, and as I said in my previous podcast, it wasn't my first choice, but look, he's here now. He's got the blue scarf over his head. And he's, as he said in his first sort of press conference, really, that he's going to be professional and get us back to winning ways. And if he does that, I'll be made up. That's what we want. That's what we wanted from every previous manager since Mashiri's come in. And they've all seemed to fail for one reason or another. So, yeah, more time we've had to think about it. You look for more positives. My red side, my mates are all a bit gutted about it also. And it's not for the first time when he obviously went to Chelsea. They weren't happy about that either. When Chelsea were, you know, against them in the top four and going for the Premier League, the banners will have to change in the cop. So yeah, you look for little positives like that to get you ready for the season ahead. But look, he was the best. Who was available, who wanted to come to us. You know, there might have been other managers out there that you'd like to see us go for, but realistically, would they have come to Everton? Rafa showed, you know, a lot of character of wanting to come to us, wanting us to hit the heights that we're all expected since Mashiri's come. So now we've just got to get fully behind him, the boys, you know, every time we're at Goodison Park and away from home and get that... you know, that passion back, you know, that I think what's been lacking. You know, Ancelotti came in, Mashiri pulled, as we thought, probably one of the biggest signings in our history, bringing him to the football club, and that never worked. It was really disappointing end of the season, and he couldn't really get consistency out of these bunch of players. But now Rafa's come in, you hope he can do it. But obviously with players with Marcel Brands that have lined up to come to the club alongside who Rafa wants to bring in. And hopefully we can have a positive start, and hopefully it all seems rosy. And I think obviously the question mark is going to be the first Merseyside derby where fans are sitting. There's obviously a lot of fans unrest on the social media and on the radio, you hear them. But that's not going to help anyone. It's not going to help the players. And it's your club. You know, Everton is our club, but we want us to be successful. And if Rafa's going to be the man for that, you know, I'm up for it. You know, fingers crossed he does. You know, it's just I'll just go back with the facts of our previous managers that we brought in. And the way it's turned toxic quite quickly for them. And I just had that fear when we were linked with Rafa that if it don't start off, you know, on fire, or we do start having a couple of the bad performances and the derby's not, doesn't go our way, that I can see our fans turning quite toxic quite quickly. But look, none of the managers are miracle workers at the end of the day. The squad is what it is. Hopefully we can add to that. And we all just want to see it being as successful as possible. You know, we were started last season really brightly and everything was looking pretty rosy, but then it was just a downward spiral from there. And hopefully, you know, Rafa can quickly as possible look at the squad. He'll know a lot about us. He knows a lot about the fans. So, you know, that's no issue. It's just about how can he improve what's already there. who's going to be staying there for next season and who can he bring into the football club to improve us to hit the heights that we've all been hoping for since Mashiri's come in. I heard Mashiri's remarks, the reasons why, and I understood where he was coming from. And you can't be sort of dictated to by the fans, but I don't think the fans have really had a say, to be honest, on previous managers in the past. He brought Ronald Koeman in. That was his man. He wanted him because he thought at his time at Arsenal, Arsenal were lining up Ronald Koeman to take over from Arsene Wenger. So you know, everybody, the majority of the fans were behind that one. That didn't work. And then when he brought Marco Silva in, I think majority of the fans were quite shocked that how strong we went for him, even willing to pay the compensation that we did for him, you know, and that never worked. And I just felt that we don't seem to be on the same page from the owner, chairman, director of football, you know, with Steve Walsh and Marcel Brands, that we need to try and find out who we are as a club. Who are we? You know, how are we going to play football? What style we're going to play? We've chopped and changed so many managers with different styles, you know, and we're seeing to bring in Sam Allardyce in as well. I don't think the fans were behind that signing either. So it's not the first time he's gone against the grain. But he was the one, as I said earlier, who had all the credentials. He's done everything in the game. He knows the Premier League. He knows how to play in Europe, and that's where we want to be. That's our aim, is to get in Europe and start challenging. That's where we want to be. And he's got that experience in abundance. So, yeah, he obviously ticks all those boxes. It was obviously that arch rivalry across the park of, you know, can we sort of start singing his name in the Gladys Street? And maybe it'll take a while, but if he starts being successful, I'm sure the Everton fans will be singing his name, fingers crossed, sooner rather than later. We've had obviously ex-players in the past playing and vice versa going over. We even had Sammy Lee, you know, on the coaching team in the past, and we just need to sort of, myself included, cross that off. He's here now. He's part of Everton Football Club. The lads were in today, pre-season, training, all getting ready for the hard work ahead. And they'll be listening to every word Rafa says. And, you know, I've listened to ex-players who played underneath him. And they say he's, you know, he's very professional. You know, he's not very close to the players. He's more of he is a coach. He likes working hard on the training field and getting his philosophy across. And I feel the squad of players we've got right now, that's what we need. You know, I think when Ancelotti came in, probably the best signings we had were probably the mixing between Marcel Brands, which is Godfrey and Decore, and obviously Alan and James. But we didn't have enough money to do what Ancelotti probably wanted, to bring in ready-made players all over the pitch and ask for instant success. We haven't got the funds to do that. We can't do that. It's not a quick fix, really, as we hoped. So, as long as he can work alongside Marcel Brands, he won't shy away from pushing the board for targets. You know, we want to bring to the football club, and he wants to take us to that next level. But also, his experience of bringing players on and the amount of players he has done in his career brought them onto a higher level, which have all come out since he's moved to Everton. I've all said how they took their game to a whole new level. Is what we want to see. We've got numerous players in that team, in that squad, that we've seen highs from, but a lot of lows as well, and lacking consistency. And it doesn't help with chopping and changing managers. You know, different philosophies, that's not going to help players' development either, especially the young ones coming through, not really knowing what to do in certain areas of the football pitch and probably getting caught in between two minds at occasions. And I can fully understand that. But that's all wiped off now. That's gone. You've got a manager in now for the first day of pre-season. That was good. We had to get that ready in. And the players are all now listening to his philosophy, be working alongside him and Big Duncan, and getting to work, getting the fitness levels up. I think he'll look at probably the last previous season. Our fitness levels haven't been as high as probably we could have been. And then obviously also his technical geniuses of which players can adapt and listen to his tactics and actually go out and implement them. So, yeah, you know, I've had time to sort of think about it, try and get as much positives out of it as possible. And we've just fully get behind them, everyone. And fingers crossed, we start the season well and we have a great season. And as if he's been brought to this football club to get us into Europe and win trophies, and if he does that, you know, you get a huge apology off me and a good high five.
Mm. Paulie, before we move on, just another quick question. A lot of the fans were maybe a little bit upset that the fact that the board hadn't listened to many opinions of Evertonians, as obviously with the protest outside the ground and flags going up near Rafa's house. Were you a little bit upset that the board didn't take notice of that and maybe then go down a different avenue? Or is it under your impression that we were already so far down the line with Rafa Benitez that the board couldn't change their mind?
I think we're probably already further down the line with Rafa. You know, there's rumours he's had 3 or 4 interviews. You know, maybe fans were a little bit disappointed he was even having a first interview. But he's obviously impressed. And the board, what you've got to give them credit for, they haven't panicked. I said it in a previous podcast that the time you don't want a manager was probably the time we had one, where you can have time to go out there, seek who's available, who's willing to come to our football club, who's willing, you know, to take us to the next level. And with Rafa, you know, yes, there were stumbling blocks, but he still had the passion to try and push to come Everton football managers. You've got to give him huge credit for that. And I think the board, as I said before, I don't think that they listened to the fans. He come out and said about David Moyes, that he was after David Moyes at one point and he listened to the fans. But look, there's previous managers in the past that I don't think the board have listened to. So it wasn't a shock, really, that, you know, the board and the owner listens to, you know, the banners, the daft banners are going out outside Goodison. That's not Evertonians. We don't do stuff like that. You know, and that was sort of sad to see. But they were just showing the frustration, but they showed it in the wrong way, unfortunately. And it sort of tarnishes our name as Evertonians. And, you know, but the board itself, yeah, they look at it as a business side of things as well, as also as football. And, you know, as I said previously, I think Marco Silva wasn't on everyone's tongue to come into the football club, and also Sam Allardyce. So it's not the first time, you know, they've appointed somebody which has got a few fans scratching their heads. But I'm sure if he turns us into the team that we're all hoping and want, you know, all will be forgiven, and it could be a masterstroke. And it's even better that it's, you know, a guy who's got previous, you know, with all our rivals, if he gets us to be successful, you know, it's sort of, it'll be twice as better for us.
Ben, moving away from Rafa's appointment, obviously since that, people have been questioning the relationship between Rafa and Marcel Brands and how they're going to work together and work in tandem. Obviously, with the Rafa announcement, there was no Marcel Brands there due to being in quarantine. Are you expecting these two to work very, very well together?
I think so. Yeah, and you have to read into the comments made by Benitez himself and Marcel Brands. I think there was a bit of a Twitter storm surrounding why Marcel Brands hadn't actually given his opinion on the matter, but it was lately revealed that he was obviously coming back from Holland and he was quarantining. Now, you look at Benitez's stance on this. He goes on to talk about, in the quote on Everton FC, about him working in Spain for years as a director of football. Now, it's my understanding that he had a bit of friction when he was working in Spain with the role of director of football. He wanted to put a lot of his ideas across instead of letting the director of football take full control of transfers and other strategies around the club. So you look at it like that, and previous experience, it might be a clash of the titans, shall we say. He went on to say that Marcel Brands is a professional. I am a professional, and we will work together. We will keep talking, having meetings about what to do for the future and about the players. So, look, they both need to realise that they need to have the best for the football club in heart. I think with the Ancelotti and the Marcel Brands idea last year, you look at, like Bawley said then, your Godfrey's, your Decores, they work brilliantly. James was good, but obviously got injured quite a lot. And Alan, still jury out at the moment. When he plays, he's brilliant, but he had a bit of a hit and miss season. So it was clear to see there was a bit of a fight over transfer targets last year, because I don't think Alan and James were Marcel Brands signings whatsoever. So it is going to be interesting. It'll be nice to put a bit of spin on things. Obviously, Benitez is going to have his way of tactically going into certain games, how he wants to play, formation, how he wants to manage. And he'll want transfer targets. And it's just, I hope we go out there and literally search the market for the players that are going to suit the system for Rafa. So they're going to have to get it right, Mick, to be honest. They're going to have a clear strategy going forward. Hopefully, Marcel Brands can take the bit of an easing of the pressure off Rafael Benitez and be that intermediary between him and the board, what funds are available, who he wants to sell, keep, get in. So it's a really interesting time going forward for Everton. And I'm going to be watching closely how these two work as a unit, because it could go one or two ways. It could be a complete catastrophe and they clash heads. Rafa will want this, Marcel will want that, and it's going to be stalemate. But you just got to see that obviously Marcel Brand has been promoted to the board as well. About 2.5 years ago in 2019, he was actually promoted to the board. So you look at some of the reports to say that Marcel Brands wasn't involved at all with the managerial recruitments is a load of nonsense in my view. He's obviously part of the board, has been for a while. We know that he's present for a majority of the interviews when Rafa interviewed up 4 or 5 times, and clearly he came across well. He got the idea of the club. He's obviously a local fella, lives in obviously over on the Whittle, and he loves the area. He's done a lot for the city. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting. It's just going to we'll soon see who we looked obviously linked with. Looking at obviously Dumfries and other certain players, and you've got to have the form. Rafa's got to come in and see our players and get an idea this week of what strategies he's going to implement this year. And then he's got to feed back to Marcel Brands and say, we need a right back because of X, Y, and Z. And these are my targets. Now, I'm going to coach this football team and I'm going to leave the transfers up to you. And it's obviously up to Marcel Brands then to go away, scour the whole global network of footballers and come back with names and say, we can have Dumfries, we can have him or him. Choose. And that, for me, is the best way of going about it. Don't get Rafa involved with the transfers as much. He can obviously have a say, but the ultimatum has got to be down to Marcel Brands, what deals he can get with other clubs, and take that burden of pressure away from Rafa, which obviously that has been Marcel Brands' job role for a number of years now. And he's just signed recently a 3-year deal. So he is in the long-term plans of the club, but clearly another member of the board. So, yeah, I think they could work well together. I like the way Rafa said, I'm a professional, Marcel's a professional. So it just shows that even if they do clash, they both need to be professional about it and come to a conclusion that's going to benefit the football club and us as fans. So, yeah, Blues, keep a watchful eye on this. I'm pretty sure we'll see with the transfer targets that are linked and who are going to be inbound, that who's getting the say, because Brands wants to have his young players who are coming in to generate potentially future revenue for the club. You look at Godfrey getting for 25 million, you go and say he's a 40, 50 million pound centre half now. So he's immediately an asset to Everton Football Club. And that's what I think Evertonians want to see. They want to see a bit more youth. People are going to fight for the shirt. People are going to have a long-term stay at this club, not signing 29, 30-year-old players now on 120 grand a week. Because I know I'm a bit sick of it. You look at like the likes of Fabian Delph sit there laughing on 100 grand a week and we sign them just for a bit of a... I can't really understand, work out that signing whatsoever. But I don't want to see that anymore. I want to see young, hungry players going to fight for the shirt, fight for the club, be on decent wages. But in the future, if they want to move on, we're not going to lose out on money and we could obviously generate revenue going forward to buy the next up-and-coming better players. And I feel like that's the model that Everton need to go for and address. So it's definitely up for Rafael Benitez and Marcel Brands to work side by side going forward. So keep a lookout, Blues.
Mm. Lee, before we move on to the assessment of the squad, obviously Marcel Brands likes to have a very, very big say on the playing side of things at Everton Football Club. We know that Rafa Benitez wasn't Brands' first choice. Are you a little bit disappointed that the club kind of didn't follow Brands' lead with the appointment on this one?
I wouldn't say I'm disappointed, Mick. No, I think, again, to the points Ben and Bawley correctly pointed out, of everyone who was out there and available and not already in a job, Rafa Benitez was the standout candidate. So the boards have come to that conclusion. I think to go with the opinion of just one man, you know, might have been a little bit negligent and a little bit silly. And we could have possibly risked losing out on appointing Rafa. And that sounds crazy. And I have done a little bit of a U-turn from a couple of weeks back, because when this was first mentioned and touted as a possibility, you know, you've got all those raw emotions and you're thinking, oh no, you know, this is just going to be problematic. But, you know, things have calmed down a little bit. There's been a couple of weeks now. And actually, when you sit back and look objectively at things and look at the facts and listen to the opinions of well-respected individuals from inside the game who know Benitez well, have either worked with him or under him, he's without question the best candidate that we could have got. So Ben's correct. You know, Brands is a professional guy. You know, he doesn't strike me as someone who's going to toss his toys out of the pram just because we've brought in Rafa Benitez. And he's got a job to do. And, you know, judging from the comments made by Benitez in his first interview, you know, it sounds like they're willing to work alongside each other, remain professional. Apparently, Brands has already been hard at work at identifying targets, and he's already invited Benitez into meetings to share with him, you know, the lists of targets that have been drawn up. And I'm sure together between them, they'll do the right things. And, you know, it's good that, you know, we're taking our time and we're being considerate about our approach, because that has to be the case now. You know, going into a new stadium in 3 years, we are in no position to be throwing money away on, like Ben said, 29, 30-year-old players coming towards the end of the career with no resale value. And not just that, you know, not doing the business on the pitch either. We've got to be shrewd with our business. We've got to make sure that we're identifying talented but young players in the prime who, you know, hopefully can come in and do a job for us and do really well and bring us success. But then ultimately, if they do want to move on, because that happens in football, unfortunately, if they do want to move on in 3-4 years, whatever, then we're going to command a hefty fee for them. A little bit like our neighbours over the park do, who seem to get ridiculous transfer fees for people that they let go out of the club. We could learn a little, you know, a thing or two about that. So, I think I'm quite confident that the two of them are going to be able to work, maybe not harmoniously, but professionally, because, you know, for the money that they paid, I think that's the minimum expectation. So not really concerned when it comes to the dynamic between Brands and Benitez, no.
Bully, we're going to move over to the assessment of the squad now, and we'll start off with the goalkeeping position. Obviously, Robin Olsen has returned back to Roma. He was on loan at us. Roma would like a fee if we are to take him on loan again. With the likes of Sergio Romero linked to us from Manchester United, how would you like Everton to approach this position?
Yeah, I'm not really that bothered, to be honest, I think, with the way Jordan's been playing. Obviously, you need a backup. But priority-wise, you know, it wouldn't be on the top of the list for Marcel and Rafa to sort out. I'll put trust in the youth, to be honest. We've had two goalkeepers on the bench for the majority of last season. But yeah, obviously we do need, you know, a decent keeper for backup. But Jordan's going to be playing majority of the games. And it's there's other positions for me that I want to see us, you know, in the starting lineup. Yeah, we know it's a squad game and you want competition in every, you know, in every position. And we've been crying out that for numerous years, and that's their job. As the lads have said, Marcel Brands and the recruitment team at Everton is huge, and the database they have is massive. So they'll have an eye on players they've been looking at for over 18 months or so and when to press the button to bring them into the football club. But yes, of course, we can't just bring them in because he seems like a good player. He's got to be a good fit for the club. If you look, I look at Ben Godfrey, he seems to get the fans, he seems to get what we're all about, and he's obviously got the ability to go with it. You know, and he's got to fit into Rafa's way of playing. You know, we've been so guilty in the past of bringing players to the club because either Marcel Brands wanted them, or the owner wanted them, or the manager wanted them, and it didn't really fit. I think one season we had sort of three right wingers, and the next year we had three number 10s, and it was crying out to get balance in the team. And that's the most important thing, is to get obviously quality in to the door, to bring the levels up to where we were last season, but also to bring competition to the players who are already here. So yeah, obviously we do need to bring possibly a goalkeeper in, but priority wise, it wouldn't be something I'd be panicking about. I'll just put trust in the youth, and it's got to start looking at our youth. You know, yes, we've got money to spend, but that's going to be in key areas to take us up to the table. And we need to start, fingers crossed, our youth will start coming through. The under 23s have done pretty well in the last 2 or 3 years, but not many have actually been given the opportunity to break in and get a run of games. Is that because of ability, or is it because there's a key player, you know, stopping their pathway? Some positions may be. Well, I think there's a couple of players that we've probably seen last season in parts do pretty well, but for one reason or other, Carlo never gave those lads an opportunity, sent some lads out on loan. So, look, the back of pre-season, Rafa's going to have a chance to see them face-to-face, watch them very closely, and then he'd be able to assess and then start prioritising where actually do we need to start filling in these positions. And, yeah, you know, Jordan's obviously been fantastic at this moment in time for England, and, you know, full credit to him. And the media needs to get off his back a little bit, you know, because he's been like that for us for, you know, for quite a while, and you know, everyone just seems to jump on his negatives each and every time. But yeah, it's not one for me to be worried about prioritising, you know, bringing in a goalkeeper. Look, Ramiro was at Manchester United, and you know, yeah, he's good and experienced, but he'd be on a lot of money, you know, and for sitting on the bench, you know, I don't really get it. You know, having a goalkeeper on £50,000-£60,000 a week to basically do the warm up, you know, it's not my sort of cup of tea, to be honest. I'd rather put a bit of trust in the youth and the lads that were, you know, have had a little bit of a go. They've had a little bit of experience and see how they develop. You know, that's what they're there for. That's where they get brought to the club. You know, the other 23s, under 18s have spent quite a bit of money bringing players. So let's start seeing, you know, them sort of develop into the first team. And if they're not going to break into the first team, can we demand a fee that will help us sort of bring, you know, another key player to the squad? So it's, you know, we know we're going to be spending money, and it's the fine balance of where's that money going to go to? Are we going to overspend in one position so it might fail on the goalkeeper side? Or, you know, but that's obviously the conundrum for the recruitment and the manager to try and sort out. But, you know, to me, it's just other key areas that I'd like to strengthen first and foremost than the reserve goalkeeper.
Ben, what are your thoughts on the goalkeeping situation at the moment? Obviously, with Robin Olsen returning, it leaves us with Jordan Pickford, Jao Virginia, Harry Tyra, and another young lad called Leban Zanluk, who is in the under-18s. Would you like Everton to go out and get a proper backup or go with the youth like Bawley suggests?
I think it's a key and vital position. So I might go slightly against what Bawley said, because I'm just going to put it to this example. Obviously, when Jordan Pickford faced the media backlash over the Van Dijk tackle, when Ancelotti was the manager, he took it upon himself to bring him out to first team football and put him on the bench. And I think having a prolific international number two coming in and stepping up to the plate eased the pressure on Pickford, and is obviously his site is mental health, etc. Because he's openly admitted that he struggled mentally, and having that break from the side made him better. So I've watched a lot of under 23 football, and you look at obviously Jao Virginia, probably the fair choice at the moment. He's a good keeper, but he's got a lot of ability, but I just don't think he's Premier League ready as it stands. Obviously, he went to Reading the year before last, and Reading fans didn't rate him whatsoever. So then you are, if the same happens against a Pickford, or he picked up a bit of an injury or a knock, and you look at the under-23s, Jao Virginia, to come in, and he's not quite ready, and he concedes a few goals. For me, it's quite a big of a vital position. I feel like we need someone to step up. You look at the two that you've mentioned, Mick. Obviously, Robin Olsen returned to Roma. He would quite happily come back, so I've been told. However, they're asking for another £3 to £4 million loan fee again, Roma, for to give him to 12 months. Obviously, he's performed very well for Sweden in the World Cup this year, putting in good performances. And then you look at Sergio Romero, like you said, which he was on, obviously, £70,000 a week, as Bawley suggested before. He's getting on a bit, but he's probably regarded as probably the best number two in the Premier League, obviously before Dean Henderson came back to United. So he's an Argentine international keeper. And if he's available on a free transfer, he lives locally in Manchester. He doesn't have to move his family far away. He can stay where he is and travel into training because his family believe they're settled. So the board's in our court there. Obviously, he fell out of United board, and the whole club went over Everton, tried to sign him for a cut price of £4 million when we signed Olsen initially, and he thought it was done. Even his missus called the United board out and said it was a disgrace what they've done after all the service he's done. Because let's get it right, he performed in UEFA Europa League run when they won the cup, in the Capital One Cup as well when they won that. So his save percentage is up there about 91%. So for me, he would be the one that I'd look to go for. And Jordan Pickford's been superb. Look at his performances in the World Cup. And obviously, Lee Dixon, another journalist, won't give him the credit that he deserves. But he's been superb. And he's openly said, since he's had his psychology therapy sessions, he's much more calm, he's relaxed, and he just controls the box, which is clear to see, for me especially. So for me, I feel like we need to get that reserve goalkeeper in. I don't feel like the keepers we've got in the youth are quite ready yet to come in and challenge Pickford. Because look, Olsen came in, performed very, very well, and it's clearly done its work. So Pickford came back, for me, even better. So he's reaped the benefits of having someone pushing him and pushing him. Whereas the year before that, we didn't really have anyone to fight for Pickford's position, and he got quite lethargic and settled, and he wasn't pushing himself more to get better. And he was under no pressure. Like, no, look, for me, nobody's position in that team should be safe, because at that point, you don't want to make any mistakes. Because, look, you want to be playing football week in and week out for Everton Football Club. So for me, Mick, it's a massive position that we need to fill. And out them two that we're suggesting that we're looking at, I'd be all over Romero for a year or 2 years. No fee. Probably get him on decent wages. And we won't have to pay the £4 million loan fee that Rome were looking for Robin Olsen. However, he does want to come back, even though the disgusting scenes we've seen at his house where he got, was obviously the victim of a confrontational burglary. But yeah, Romero for me, Mick, and I feel like the position that pretend, not number one. We all know that we need a right back and right wing, but for me, he's one of the top four priority positions that we need to get sorted this summer.
Lee, moving on from goalkeeping, obviously Niles Nkunku has made it quite clear to the football club, him and his agent, that he'd like to go out on loan and get some valuable minutes elsewhere. So if Nkunku was to go out on loan, it would leave us with Luka Dean obviously starting, and then Thierry Small as maybe a backup. Is that something you'd be happy with?
As you know, I've banged the drum for Nkunku all season. I thought he should have been given many more chances than he was actually afforded last season. I think he'd looked remarkably good at the start of the year. He had a poor half against Newcastle and then we didn't see him again. I thought that was really harsh. But there's two ways of looking at it. You know, for him personally, you know, maybe a loan will do him good. You know, he can go away, he can develop, he can play at hopefully a decent standard and then come back to us, you know, more ready to play and to feature regularly. Because Luka Dean is obviously an outstanding left back on the European stage, and he's not going to be ousted from that position. And then Thierry Small is obviously, rightly or wrongly, we did a podcast specifically on this last year, I remember. He's demanded more of an involvement and more of an inclusion within the matchday squad. So that would, you'd think, allow that to happen as well if Nkunku was to move on and go out on loan. So it's probably for the best in terms of the bigger picture. Obviously, just for me personally, I just like him as a player. I think he ticks all the boxes that we need. He's very quick. He's forward thinking, you know, he runs with the ball, he'll take a man on, you know, he's really, really good at assists and, you know, getting beyond the last man and getting to the byline and stuff. And I just think he's one of the players that I really enjoy watching play football in the limited time that we've seen him. But alone may not do him, you know, it's not going to do him any harm. But again, it's a left back. It's not our number one priority. Same with the goalkeeper. You know, right back, we've got a, you know, massive fight in our hands if the link to Dumfries is true, and if there's mileage in it. You know, he's certainly, you know, he's going to have attracted a list as long as your arm of potential clubs that are going to be wanting it, you know, his signature. After his performances at the Euros, he was absolutely brilliant. He's one of the standout players of the tournament, if you'd go as far to say. So whether or not we've had initial discussions with him before the Euros, you just don't know. But you know, if rumours are to be believed, you know, Inter Milan struggling to come up with the financial package needed to bring him there. So can Everton strike and, you know, bring in a player? That would be a statement signing, you'd think, and get everyone talking. And we'll definitely address the glaring issue that we've got at right back, because we can't go into the new season with Seamus Coleman as our only right back. You know, because you'd think John Joe Kenny's going to possibly be moved on. Because as much as we all love Seamus Coleman, you know, age happens and it comes to everyone, and he's not the player that he was. Well, certainly not consistently anyway. You might see it in flashes and glimpses, but he's not going to be able to do it over a 38-game plus season. So let's hope that happens. So I know I've just covered the fullback, so I don't know whether you want to go on and talk about the rest of the defence.
Bully, just talking about right back, what Lee's just touched on, Inter Milan have kind of stalled on Dumfries at the moment. They're not willing to pay the money that is being requested, and Everton are yet to put in a firm offer. Looking at Dumfries, or would you like us to maybe rekindle our interest in Max Ahrens? What are your thoughts on this? I imagine it's a high priority for you, the right back position.
Yeah, I think as Lee said, but with Dumfries, unfortunately, PSV gambled. They had buyers and bids before the Euros, and himself, PSV weren't happy with his performances. You know, they spent a lot of money bringing to the football club to develop and to sell on to the big clubs in Europe, like Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Barcelona. That was the pathway for him. He didn't hit the heights that PSV liked And PSV had bids for him before the Euros. So they were in a situation, do we accept now? And, you know, hopefully, you know, wash him off and then move on to somebody else? Or do we gamble that he goes to Euros, he gets game time, and he produces the performances that they've seen 2 or 3 years previous? And he did that. You know, the Dutch come back with a lot of stick. The manager left. The fans weren't happy with the performance of the Euros. They all come back very embarrassed, but he was the standout player for them. He had a fantastic Euros, but because he's done so, you know, a lot of clubs have come to the table. PSV are happy now. You know, they can sit back and they can command whatever fee that they've put on his head, and it's up to the Bayern clubs to come up and pay for that. So unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be one for us. I think the money-wise, I think Marcel would go for him, but I think the player himself has got bigger sort of aspirations of trying to play for, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, and maybe top teams in Italy, which makes us sort of got to look for other targets. And we spoke about Max Evans numerous times on the podcast, and it's been a rumour between us, between Everton and Norwich, have been in discussion for over 18 months, and just not willing to pay for that price for a guy who hasn't really proved himself consistently in the Premier League. But every time you watch the kid play, he looks like he's got the ability. So to me, a guy who knows more about English football, he does have a small experience in the Premier League, I would go for him. You know, Dumfries made us had a good tournament. So if he goes back to the way he played 12 months ago, we might be a bit disappointed. But that look, every transfer is a gamble. It's all in hindsight. They always seem to tick certain boxes, and then if sometimes the face don't fit when they come to the football club, and we've seen it happen to us, unfortunately, time and time again. And you know, when it works, it's great. You know, the fans are all fully behind it. The players, you know, they grow even better. I.e., you know, Ben Godfrey, good players, come to the football club. He's rose to the occasion when he got his opportunity, and you know, we've seen the type of player he is, got him involved in the England setup for the Euros, and you know, just missed out on that. But that's where he, you know, he'll be playing for England and very, very soon, you know. And that's, it's the balancing act. Look, every club is going to be after these young talents. And you've just got to be very, very sort of cute in the transfer market, who's scouring certain networks of the world that, you know, people probably don't spend much time there. And I think Everton do. I think Everton have realised, if they've looked at maybe of Arsenal and Chelsea, who are, you know, going to South America a lot earlier. Without the Brexit, that could help us. Brexit, before Brexit, was very difficult to get players out of the EU. If they weren't playing at the top level, it was difficult to get them. So that's where they always go to Holland, because it was easy to get the visa. But then when you buy them from Holland, there's a massive sort of premium on top of that. But now we've got an opportunity to go direct. But that means it's a gamble. The Man City done it with Jesus, straight from Brazil, straight to Manchester as a young kid. It's a gamble for them, but it's obviously paid off for Manchester City. And, you know, we just need to try and find our own little targets. And it won't just be Dumfries and Max Adams on that list. There'll be, you know, a good 6 or 8 players that, you know, they'll be looking at intensely and seeing who would fit the style, obviously, of Rafa, hopefully, and who can sort of improve, who's developing, and who can be a sort of prospect for the future, but also who can be an asset for the future. So it's a huge balancing act, and the recruitment is, as fans, we feel it's, you know, it's pretty easy. You just watch a game and this guy's, you know, he's flying, let's go and get him. But nowadays they have, you know, a huge database of the whole history of the player, you know, where he's struggling, where he needs to improve on, you know, all the stats from previous clubs beforehand. So the decisions get made on the back of all that data, on top of obviously the football and I. And between the two, yeah, you know, I'll take any of them. But it's going to be a huge sort of summer for us of where we're going to start prioritising first. Right back's going to be up there. I'd like to see who comes to the football club to be starting. And that means the level's risen. That's what we did last summer. And we got in Alan, he's starting, James starting, you know, and that's Decore starting straight away. And that just puts the competition in training much higher. And it gets the best out of the other lads, you know, around you. Tom Davis improved, you know, when he got his opportunity. They've got to be patient because they've seen with their own eyes the level that needs to be to wear that blue shirt and get out there. And that's what I want to see again this summer, that we bring in players that come in and walk straight in that side. That means they brought in better quality, and it's got to get the rest of the players around them. I've got to up their game if they want to be a part of it all.
Ben, moving away from the right-back position, centre-half has been another position that we've been linked with. And this time it was Ben White at Brighton. We've been heavily linked with him. If we were to sign Ben White, you would imagine another centre-half would probably be out the door. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you look straight away, obviously, to Mason Holgate. He's had a disappointing season for me. I thought the back end of last year performed really well. But last year, he was probably one of his worst years for Everton going forward. He a few errors and just looked a bit arrogant and thought he was a bit better than what he was. And he's probably dropped down from probably one of the first centre-halves on the team sheet to, I'd go as far as saying, fourth best centre-half the club now. So he could potentially be one leaving the club. I think there are plenty of suitors around. To believe, obviously, West Brom are looking at him again. Because, look, he is versatile. He does play centre-half. He does play right-back. And he did do a job, obviously, when he played like that right-back, that role for Everton. But just wasn't the attacking threat that we needed going forward. And clubs could see how we were going to play and just stack up to stop Lucas Digne overlapping. So he's not a natural right-back, is he? But he is versatile. So I can think he'd potentially be out the door. You look at, obviously, the big one, which I've said on numerous other podcasts, obviously, Yerry Mina. So Yerry Mina, for me, is probably our best centre-half when fit. And when is the big word there? Because he does pick up a lot of niggles. The Colombians will not play whatsoever if they've got any sort of knock. They like to be 110% before they play. Whereas some of like the footballers over here just get an injection and crack on and say, I'm not missing this game. Whereas they want to be 100% fit. Now, Yerry Mina's got obviously 130 grand a week. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He's still at an age, for me, Mick, where he probably is a saleable asset. So if you go for, and it is, look, it's a discussion for Blues. So I, for one, probably wouldn't be offering. He'd want an improved contract, let's be honest. At that age, he'll want an improved contract going forward. And for me, I can't see him being worth 130, 140 grand a week. I just can't. Even though when he does play, he probably is our best centre-half, so I might be contradicting myself, but he's not worth that money going forward. That's my opinion on it. And people might have different views listening to the podcast. So them two potentially out the door. Now, I've watched Ben White a lot this season. You can see why, obviously, Leeds were so desperate to get him back last year, because he's been brilliant. Really good centre-half who likes the ball at his feet. And he's slot straight in alongside Ben Godfrey. And there's your centre-half for the next 10 years to come. Clearly, Arsenal interested. And I think even Man City are sniffing rounds, who just love to sign a centre-back no matter what. So I just can't see them coming in all guns blazing. But it does seem that it is between Everton and Arsenal, where probably Arsenal are still in pole position. And it would be a really good acquisition. We talked about saleable assets, obviously, with Yerry Mina and previously. And Ben White would be one. He's English for a start, obviously meeting the roster of having the English players in the squad. So he'd be a welcomed addition. But I still don't think centre-half is where we need to strengthen straight away. I still feel like what the lads talked about before with right-back, the right-winger, and we probably desperately need a central midfielder as well, because we haven't got anyone that can get the game by the scruff of the neck and take us forward on from defence to attack in a matter of seconds. So, look, if we got Ben White, I'd be over the moon, but I'd obviously look to see your Mason Holgate leaving and even your Yerry Mina leaving. He's got 2 years left on his deal, and it probably is the summer where Everton needs to decide what they're doing with him. Michael Keane clearly signed a long-term deal, clearly spreading his amortisation cost across the length of his 4 or 5 year deal he got. So he's got plans for the football club. So you look at them two players, Mick, and go, they're probably ones looking to go. We are going to bring a centre-half in. I know there's been obviously links with Ben White and Damaro from Juventus. We're keeping a close eye on him at Turkish International. So yeah, it could be a position that we do strengthen in the summer. But we need to make a decision also on the players we've currently got at the club. And Marcel Brands and Benitez have got a big, big task coming ahead this summer.
Lee, moving away from the defence, we'll go into the midfield. Now, obviously, a lot of Everton fans would like us to improve our right-hand side, maybe another attacking midfield, a bit more flair. What would you like to see us do in the midfield, ins and outs, please?
Oh, it's where you start with the midfield. It's a really, really weak area of the pitch for Everton, in my opinion. The players we've got in there currently are not suddenly going to change into world beaters just because it's a new season and we've got a new manager. I think when I look at the group and that in the midfield, I think the word that springs to mind to me is stale. You know, these are players that have failed for a number of years now. I want to see a complete overhaul, a refresh in that area of the pitch. I think we need an injection of pace, whoever we bring in, forward-thinking players, players with desire and commitment who aren't going to hide from the ball. And I'd go as far to say that was probably, it's probably the worst midfield in the league outside the clubs that went down for me. It's awful to watch. So in terms of outgoings, Delph would be at the top of my list. You know, he's stealing a living from this football club. Don't like his attitude. I think he's arrogant. I think it's misplaced arrogance as well, because I don't think he's the most talented footballer I've ever seen in my life. I think he thinks he's better than he is. And he's commanding over $100,000 a week from this club and delivering very, very little. So see you later, mate. Hopefully he gets binned off. Bernard, a little bit different. Again, another massive earner and someone who probably doesn't give us bang for our buck, but shows little glimpses of quality and ability in glimpses. But again, it's too fleeting. He's probably not got the physicality and the attributes needed to really do well in the Premier League. So I think if we can get a fee for him and get his wages off the book and free that money up to give to other players coming in, then I think that's a no-brainer as well. Iwobi, don't think it's going to happen. I think, you know, Borley's made observations about him in the past. You know, he just doesn't beat a man. You know, you think of a winger and you think of beating men and getting to the byline and getting crosses in. He seems to have just had a complete, you know, he's devoid of confidence. Sometimes it just doesn't happen for players at certain clubs, and I can't see it happening for Iwobi at Everton. And for the money we paid for him, if we can recoup even half of that, and again, get his wages off the books and reinvest it in someone just better at the end of the day, then I'm all for that as well. And I'm going to leave my most controversial one to last. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me for this. I'm probably going to get pelters, but I also know a lot of people share the same opinion, but are perhaps scared to say it for one reason or another. But Tom Davis isn't good enough. I think he's got the right attitude. He's obviously a lovely fella. I've got nothing against him personally, but if we want to be a top six club, we ain't going to get there, unfortunately, with the likes of Tom Davis playing regularly. So I'm not saying I'm desperate for him to leave, but I'd be really disappointed if he's a regular starter or even a regular coming off the bench next season, because I want to see us progress. And we've got the financial backing to have better than him in the squad. So for me, I think he's someone who needs to be phased out. He's had nearly 5 years now and he's produced very, very little. And I don't see this massive improvement that people go on about. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. So coming in, players we've been linked with, I think Bissouma is an absolutely brilliant player. If he's available for the right price, I think he ticks all our boxes. I think he's an absolutely brilliant player. And then the obvious one that springs to mind now with Rafa coming in would be Saint-Maximin from Newcastle on the right. Quick, forward-thinking, really, really exciting. You know, again, if you think of all the things that we've been crying out for over the past year, well, over a year, I think he fits the bill quite nicely and he'd be an exciting player to come in. But overall, Mick, I think midfield is clearly the area of the pitch that needs the most attention, the most surgery, you know, and it's going to be a task and a half, because like Borley said earlier on, it's all well and good saying, oh, well, I don't think he's very good, let's just get rid of him. It's not as easy as that. These players are on big wages, you know, they're certainly not going to be rushing for the exit door, you know, if they're only going to be getting offered half the money or two-thirds of the money elsewhere, you know, you can, and who can blame them, really? That's the club's fault for putting us in that position. So it's going to be tough, but I just want to get to the 14th of August and feel a little bit more confident going into games that we're not going to be completely overrun in midfield. So a lot of work to do in that area for me.
Ben, do you share the same opinion as Lee there? Would you maybe add Andre Gomez into that list or Gylfi Sigurdsson into the list, into the midfield?
For me, Andre Gomez is... sad to say, when he joined the club on loan, I thought he was brilliant. But again, you look at his stats and he offered one goal and one assist in that year where we all thought he was brilliant. And since his injury, he's gone backwards for me. And look, it was a horrific injury. And he does sometimes a nice passer of the ball, but look, he's a bit of a passenger. He looks slow. He looks like he can't keep up with play. And we just need that midfielder, like I touched on before, like your proper number eight. Now, you look at, obviously, Mateus Nunes, who we've been linked with from Sporting Lisbon. But it's believed that, obviously, Rafa's put a hold on that deal at the moment. He's just come into the club and he might potentially have other plans. So that might be a deal that potentially stalls going forward. And then, obviously, the other names mentioned, Sigurdsson, obviously linked to, obviously, Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Dubai leagues, who threw off quite a hefty fee. But it's understood, obviously, Sigurdsson wants to potentially stay. Where, obviously, he did have a good year, Sigurdsson, last year, to give him his credit. I know he did get a lot of stick from Everton fans, but he did. He was our second most creative player within the football club. So his goals and assists combined were really, really high up the list, which, without his goals and assists, we'd probably be sitting right down in the bottom half of the table. But look, if the right money comes in, he's another, obviously, quite a big earner of the club, and I'd look to go. I'd have to probably disagree with Lee in regards to Tom Davis. Look, he's a touchy subject and people have different opinions of this kid. He's come through the ranks. And is he a starter for Everton? No, and I'd agree with that. He probably isn't good enough to start. But I do think there is a place for him in the squad. I feel like he can come off the bench, see out games, sit in front of the back four and just protect the midfield and get a bit of... Because look, he puts tackles in, he gets stuck in and he plays the balls really well and nicely. Probably not where we'd want to be starting for Everton. But there is a place for him in that squad. And there'll be obviously like Lee touched on before with Fabian Delph. He needs to get out the door. Gomez, Sigurdsson. And then we need to bring probably then one or two midfielders in going forward. Because obviously Decore, Allen, James's future's up in the air. So look, we do need to sign a player who's going to get hold of that ball and drive us forward. But it's finding that type of player out there because it is going to be difficult. Someone like Basuma, like Lee mentioned then, a number eight who's agile, quick, goes up and down, gets hold of the ball, makes things happen. So it's another key area for me because obviously Alan and Decore work very well together. Alan's playing more of a bit of a six at the moment. But when he played further forward for me last year, he played better. Clearly, the game that stands out for me was Leeds at home when he was head and shoulders above every single player on that pitch. And he was driving forward, beating men, beating tackles, dribbling past players. So he has got it in his locker. And then you got the likes of Gabamon coming back in, which again suffered two quite unfortunate injuries and been out of action from top tier football for 2 years. And look, I'm his biggest fighter. I'm desperate for him to come back and do really well. It's going to be very, very difficult. And the kid has to work extremely hard because get back up to match fitness is going to be really difficult. You've seen what happened to Yannick Bolasie after a really horrific injury. He lost all his pace. He lost his agility, his mobility, and he just went backwards and didn't work for Everton. So, look, I hope Gabam's come back fitter and stronger. And he could potentially be that number six going forward and move Alan further forward. So it just needs to work out long term. But I'm hoping that Rafa comes in with a plan in place and the targets of Marcel Brands to go out and sort out. So that's my stance on it, Mick.
Okay, guys, moving on to the forward position. Lee, I'll come to you first. Moise Kean, obviously, he would like to sign at PSG permanently, and I think we can all probably fully understand why. Where would you like to see Everton go here? I mean, do we try and command the big fee for Moise Kean? Do we loan him out and then try and get an obligation to buy and then go elsewhere ourselves and look for another striker? What would you like to see us do here?
Ooh, I'd like to see the club, you know, be strong in the negotiations. There's no sense whatsoever in allowing him to go again on loan to PSG, especially when you see they're throwing money at transfers left, right and centre. You know, why should we allow them to take, you know, an asset like Moise Kean? And we haven't got many of them for free for another year. It's a risk because he did really well over there last year. You know, you'd argue to say his value will have probably gone up because of his performances in France, but that might not be the case again. You know, you might have a really difficult season and struggle to make an impact. And then all of a sudden, you're struggling to sell him if he doesn't have a future at our club. He doesn't seem to want to have that much interest in coming back to Everton. And again, that's not the type of player that we really want in and around the squad. We want players who are chomping at the bit to wear the Everton shirt and produce the goods for us. And it's a shame with him because I think there is a player in there, and there was times certainly last season where I think we could have done with him, where Calvert-Lewin could have done with a little bit of a rest or taken out of the limelight a little bit, you know, because he was brilliant overall, but there were little spells where perhaps he struggled and we could have done with another striker to come in. So it is an area that I think we need to address. Again, I think it'd be naive to go into the season with just Dominic Calvert-Lewin up front. As good as he is and you know, as much as he's improved, we need competition up there to keep him on his toes. Obviously, in the event of any injury or suspension, we need someone to be able to come in, someone who's a lot better than Cenk Tosun, or without having to adapt and put players who aren't necessarily strikers up front like Richarlison or James. One that sticks out to me, and it's an obvious one, is Danny Ings. He's not those glamorous of players, but he's just turned down a 4-year contract at Southampton. He knows where the net is. I think if you provide chances to Danny Ings, he'll stick them away. He's very, very reliable. Always seems to score against us, so it's stop him doing that as well. And I don't think he'd command a massive fee either. So it's whether or not he sees Everton as a, sounds really bad, as a step up, because he's saying he wants to test himself at the highest level. We're not in Europe. And this comes back to the point we were making a couple of times towards the end of last season, where we were worrying if we didn't get into Europe, is that going to, you know, have an impact on our transfer plans and options available to us? Because some players may demand that as a prerequisite for joining a club. But so you just don't know. That, I suppose that'd be up to him. But I'd take him every day of the week. I think he's improved massively since his time at Liverpool. He looks a really good player every time you watch him for Southampton, and I just think he's clinical. And there's a couple of times, you know, you think of the Premier League, a lot of these games are really, really tight. It comes down to one or two key chances, and he's one of the players you'd think, you know, you'd want it to drop to him and you'd back him to stick it in the back of the net. So I think that he's one that I'd certainly consider. There's not that many other strikers that I can think off the top of my head. Perhaps Ben's, you know, got a little bit more knowledge than me on the whole wider game. I think he pays a bit closer attention than me, so perhaps he can reel a few names off. I'm not too sure, but for me, Danny Ings would be the one I'd go for.
There you go, Ben Lee, setting you up there. Strikers, wingers,
what no would
you
pressure, like, Ben.
Oh God, I'm flapping now. Yeah, look, let's go with strikers out first. Obviously, Tosun hasn't worked out. Big Sam, gravy train didn't work, so he needs to be out the door. But he's obviously carrying an ACL. Issue at the moment, so I don't expect him to go anywhere. He's not going to pass a medical, and teams are going to take the gamble with him with his knee as it stands. Moise Keane, I can't believe Everton will do something so stupid by just letting him loan out again. The only way round he could loan him out again if he did provide a big loan hefty fee, for example, 10 million with an obligation to buy. So they have to buy him at the end of next year for, say, £35 million. Then that for me would be an all right deal. If we don't put any obligation in him, we're just getting laughed at, because his contract then goes 2 years left on his deal. His net worth, his value goes down. We then probably lose out on money and probably will struggle to get the money we paid for him. So it just makes no sense. And Marcel Brands, look, if he does a deal like that, it's shocking. And he needs to start earning his coin now, because this is a target and potentially our funds for the summer. But yeah, look at Calvert-Lewin, been brilliant, been great. Obviously, that's why obviously the likes of Chelsea have been sniffing, inquiring to see what fees that we could potentially be looking for. So it is an area that we definitely need to address. Richarlison, another one, been playing off front, obviously playing on the wing. So people, other clubs have inquired about Richarlison, but we're probably desperate to keep hold of him. Obviously, he's versatile, he's brilliant. So let's go on to people that we could potentially get. I do agree with Lee. I think Danny Ings could be a very good signing. I also like the look of Ivan Toney. I feel like he's had a really good season at Brentford. They just come up. He knows where the back of the net is. Can play on the right as well. He's quick, powerful, good at finishing. But again, what will Brentford command for their star man? Probably up towards the £25-30 million. And it's, do we have that kind of money as it stands? I'm not too sure. The one that stands out for me, who could be a bit controversial, shall I say, is obviously Matias Pereira from West Bromwich Albion. They've just gone down as it stands. He's a left-footed right winger. He's quick, combined 18 goals and assists last year. So for me, he's a player I'd probably look to go for. I believe he's got a clause where a club can sign him for around £15 million. I thought he looked dangerous every time I watched him. He was direct, he was quick, he was tricky. And that's exactly what we've been missing. If we can get that right-hand side sorted with players who are going to be attacking, quick, intelligent, and actually go at a man, then it's just going to get Goodison off their feet going forward. And it'll just be great to have a bit of attack and flair, which we haven't seen at Goodison Park for a while. Let's not beat around the bush here, because last year was not great at all. And if Benitez has any sort of record like Carlo the Dinosaur had last year at home, then Goodison's going to turn extremely quick. So we just want to see plays. We're going to be direct, causing a threat, and get Goodison. When the Gladys Street stands up and a player goes down the wing, it gives you goosebumps. You can hear the old chairs creaking and the whole Goodison gets excited. And that's what I want to see more of, because we haven't seen it for a while. So someone like that, for me, he's available for a very cheap option. He could come in, do a job, Premier League experience. He did really well at West Brom last year. So he's a player that I'd potentially look to bring in. But I do feel like we need a backup striker. Clearly, Josh King didn't work. So yeah, that's my views on it all. I hope I didn't disappoint you, Lee, but yeah, that's how I'd stand.
You never certainly, disappoint
me, Ben. No, you don't, Lee. You're absolutely right. It's going to be a busy month, guys, that's for certain. Obviously, we're hoping there's going to be a lot of movement over the next coming weeks and ins and outs. Lee, I believe you had a few things to say about a chap who's recently passed away, unfortunately.
Yeah, thanks, Mick. Yeah, I just wanted to pay my respects to Ron Newsham, a very close friend and neighbour of mine for over 30 years. And I know a couple of his family and friends listen to us. It was massive Evertonian. He was on our books. You know, he was a Blue for over 75 years. You know, proper die-in-the-wool Evertonian who sadly passed away yesterday, Mick. So, yeah, well-known amongst our support. And I just want to send my thoughts and condolences to all of Ron's family. Sad day today.
Absolutely. That goes for me, Ben, Borley, Ratcliffe and Lee, all of us sending our thoughts. Guys, we will be back very, very soon. We'll be back at the end of the week with more information and more news of all the latest to come out of Goodison Park and Finch Farm. Breaking news is also that full capacity is allowed back in stadiums as of the middle of July, which is great news. And I'm sure we can all look forward to a full capacity at Goodison Park in the very near future. In the meantime, stay safe, take care, and we'll see you very soon. Thank you.